a prayer request for our church family. We want to give you an update and let you know about Harlan. Many of you know Harlan and have been faithfully praying for him as he's just finished his most recent round of chemotherapy. He is a cancer survivor. He had cancer a handful of years ago, and the Lord healed him, and they found that that cancer had come back. And here was our prayer: Lord, do it again. Do it again. And Harland went to a service. It was a Ted Shuttlesworth service, and Harland was front row, and Ted Shuttlesworth had a word for him. He said that the Lord has plucked him from the hands of death once, and he'll do it again. And so we're believing for healing over Harlan. We've been praying for him. He just finished chemotherapy, but the doctors said that there's need for them to continue. And so not encouraging news, but we know that we have encouraging news in the Word of God. And that's what we're standing on. And Harlan says this to his doctors because they're telling him about all the side effects and whatnot. He says, let me stop you right there, doctor. I don't believe in side effects. And he hasn't had any. He hasn't lost a single pound. Every appointment he goes in for, he hasn't lost a pound. He has his appetite. He's eating well. He's doing good. But we want to let you know, church, keep praying. Keep praying for Harland and for Don. And just before I preach, I want to thank you. Some of you, our church members, received some covert messaging leading up to my ordination about an opportunity to bless me. This was a surprise to me. And so on behalf of you, you, our members, donated and gave, and the board bought me a new guitar. And so I have that guitar that I led with this morning. So I wanted to thank you for your generosity in blessing me. And my first time playing it this morning, and did you notice I broke a string in the first song? So I got to restring those strings. But thank you for that. What a blessing. What a gift. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to give you two places to turn to. Acts chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 5. Acts chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 5. As you turn there, I want to tell you three brief but very true stories. So here's the first story. In 2021... a supposed fan of the Christmas classic, Home Alone 2. How many Home Alone fans are there in the house? Someone took to Twitter and to suggest that the producers edit and republish the movie with one small detail missing. Any of you heard this? This was in the news. They wanted to delete that scene where Macaulay Culkin is in the hotel in New York City and he bumps into someone. He asks for direction. Anybody know who that person was? Donald Trump. And so there was an outcry of people saying that they wanted to remove Donald Trump from this movie, the producers, to edit out, and people started hunting into every cameo appearance that Donald Trump made in movies, and they wanted them to edit him out of the movie. Why? Because Donald Trump has become, in the eyes of many, an offensive and deplorable human being who must be erased from our memories. That's story number one. Story number two. Just after the 2020 U.S. election, there was a lot of discussion about voter fraud. So much so that social media platforms made it a violation of their policy to even suggest that there was voter fraud in the 2020 election. If you said it in a video on YouTube, you would be demonetized and removed from the platform. That's the second story. Third story is this. In December of 2021, so about 6 months ago, there was an international uproar over an interview conducted by Joe Rogan, where he interviewed Dr. Robert Malone, a virus expert and vaccine skeptic. Anybody remember this? People lost their minds over this because they claimed that it was spreading, here's the word, misinformation concerning vaccines and the COVID vaccine in particular. And so people were calling for Spotify to remove Joe Rogan from their platform, and celebrities started making threats. Neil Young said he was going to remove all of his music off of Spotify if Joe Rogan wasn't removed. There was others who followed suit. And so similar to the policies that were put in place by social media platforms who made it a violation to spread misinformation about COVID-19 or vaccines, They did all of this in order to say, essentially, if you say anything that is not in alignment with what public health says or with what the governing leaders want to say or with popular opinion is currently believing, then we will censor you. Now, you'll be happy to know that my sermon today is not on Donald Trump. It's not on the U.S. election. It's not even on our recent Ontario election. And it's not on COVID-19, and it's not on vaccines. So everybody can just go, okay, relax. What do all of these stories have in common? They are all attempts of censorship in our culture. Censorship. The title of my message today is Censorship, Misinformation, and Disinformation. Censorship, misinformation, and disinformation. And this is incredibly relevant for us today in our culture. The idea behind censorship that is happening right now is that we have to silence those who may be causing harm to our current narrative and popular opinion because of offensive thoughts, inaccurate views, words, or action. Censorship is essentially political correctness taken to its logical end. Everybody knows political correctness, right? You can't say certain things or touch on certain topics because you'll deeply offend people. Now, we're just blowing that out of the water with this sermon series because I'm preaching on controversial things. I talked about abortion 2 weeks ago, talked about religion and politics last week, and so I may not be making friends, but I hope I'm influencing people. That's my hope. Governments around the world, you say, Pastor Tim, why are you talking about this? And don't worry, we're going to read the Bible this morning. But governments around the world are forming committees and writing policies that have to do with how to censor misinformation and disinformation. Canada has announced giving $7 million to projects aimed at increasing public awareness of misinformation. $7 million to help label misinformation. So here's the plan, okay? Edit the internet and mostly our lives so that we will never have to encounter an apparent lie or piece of misinformation again. Edit the internet and edit our lives so that we'll never be exposed to something that might be wrong. It claims that it wants to preserve truth. And you say, Pastor Tim, shouldn't we celebrate this as the church? I mean, we're all about truth. So shouldn't we get behind some kind of an agenda that wants to preserve the truth? Well, here's the issue. When I was young, people used to say, don't believe everything you see on TV. Heard that before? Now, for the most part, nobody really consumes through standard television anymore. It's all internet and social media and YouTube and Netflix and so on. Let me give you some stats. Every day, people around the world watch a combined total of 1 billion hours of videos on YouTube. There are 3.8 million searches per minute on Google. Hopefully, that's happening less during church right now. But that's 228 million searches every hour, 5.6 billion per day, and 2 trillion Google searches every year. On average, people spend 2 hours and 27 minutes on social media every day. Now, that's a lot of information. John Nesbitt, he's a widely read American author and public speaker, he said this, "We are drowning in information but starved for knowledge." Here's our culture right now. We are drowning in information everywhere. Push notifications being sent to your phone. We are overwhelmed with information. But how much of us truly have knowledge of what is right and what is wrong? We get everything that we have through the internet. So it'd be easy to say, don't believe everything that you read on the internet. Here's the problem with that. Everything that you know, you probably found out on the internet. War in Ukraine, COVID-19, shootings in schools, potential voter fraud in elections. How are you hearing all of this? It's not traveling from the well to the water cooler. It's not traveling through word of mouth. It's traveling through the internet. So who do we believe? CNN, CBC, Fox News? Do we just find the station that aligns with our own views and say, I'm going to believe everything that they say and disagree with everything that the other people say? How do we know what to believe? How do we know? Quite the predicament. Here's the answer our culture has come up with. Censorship. Don't worry. You don't need to think for yourself. We will think for you. And we will edit and censor and block information that may disturb you or may mislead you. And we just let us think for you. Now, truth should be highly prized in the church. Jesus said this, the truth is what sets us free. Shouldn't we love this pursuit of truth? Shouldn't we be deeply interested in pursuing this form of truth? Well, we should, but we need to be careful how we go about it. Before we get to the book of Acts, let me make a few statements and read a few verses here. God loves the truth, and he hates lies. This does matter, and this is an important conversation that we should be having, not just in our world, but in the church. We should be talking about misinformation and lies and things that lead people away. Because God loves the truth and he hates lies. Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies shall perish. You know what the Bible says about people who lie and spread misinformation? They deserve to die. We all agree God cares about the truth. Truth matters. John 8:44, when he, the devil, lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Every lie that we speak is inspired by the devil. I could go on and on, but here's the truth. God loves the truth, and he hates lies. Here's the problem with censorship and how our current culture is going about it. It places the standard of truth in the hands of human beings. Now, here's the problem with that. Get ready to write this down. Humans are not perfect. Revelation, right? And this is why you come to this church, right? Just like deep stuff. Human beings are not perfect. And so if we give people the ability to determine that which is true from that which is false, if they are the ultimate authority in our lives, we are all in trouble. This whole movement of censorship and censoring certain people and certain voices is built on the idea that somebody knows best, and it's probably whoever's in charge, and it's probably whoever owns social media platforms, and it's probably whoever has the most people subscribed to their channel. Truth must be kept in the hands of God. This is truth. Everything else you read, I'm not so sure. You must hear everything that you hear on the internet, on TV, everything that you hear from other people. You must have a sense of skepticism as to whether or not it's true. Okay, Acts chapter 4. If you're there, let me give you some context. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 had just met with this man who had been born lame. And he's begging for money. And Peter says, famously, you remember the story? He says, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And what happens? He gets up and he walks. It's a miracle. And just like always happens, whenever God shows up and performs a profound miracle, there's a religious person somewhere who gets angry. And so the religious leaders, they get angry and they start gathering around these disciples. So let's read a little bit. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, then let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This boldness in Peter and John to preach. By what authority did you do that? You know that guy that you killed? By his power, I did these things. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." And so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So the authorities in first century early church time, they didn't want them to speak the name of Jesus. They didn't want the death and resurrection of Jesus being shared. They didn't want the gospel, the news of how you could surrender your life to Jesus to be shared. They didn't want this to spread. So what did they do? Censorship. Silence them. Just don't tell. Just stop. You can't use this word, Jesus. You can't use it. Don't use this word. This is what's happening right now on our social media platforms. If you use certain words, you're gone. You can't say it. That's a no-no word. You can't say that. The no-no word in the early church time was Jesus. You can't say the name of Jesus. Censorship. Silence the enemy. And this is the danger of creating a censorship culture where we allow the authorities to censor who they disagree with. See, the first century lived in a culture where their values didn't align with the church. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. We live in a time right now where our authorities' values do not align with the church. Everybody living in the same world as me? Our value system is not in alignment with those in authority in our culture. And so, Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews, they didn't want people being led astray by this Jesus message. Here's what we need to know. These religious leaders thought they were doing the right thing. They weren't just selfishly trying to maintain control over their audience or over their crowd. They actually believed that Jesus, the message of Jesus, was leading people astray. And here's what you need to know about those who are attempting to bring censorship and control. They actually think they're doing the right thing. Their heart, they're actually trying to help people, most of them. Most of them. Now, if the first century church had a podcast, wouldn't that be cool? If they fast-forwarded to all our culture today, I think they would be forced to have a disclaimer at the beginning of their podcast that went something like this. You ready? What you are about to hear is considered to contain hate speech, littered with misogynistic, homophobic views that are believed to spread misinformation, disinformation, and promote conspiracy theories, myths, and fairy tales. Listeners are cautioned against listening to the following program. This is the world we live in right now. We need disclaimers and warnings at the beginning of certain content because, well, our value system doesn't align with present leadership. Okay, verse 19. What did Peter and John do? Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard." What boldness that they had. Now, keep following the story. In chapter 5, Peter and John and some of the other disciples, what do? They keep telling people about Jesus. They won't let themselves be censored. And so what happens is they get thrown in jail, and then an angel shows up and breaks them out of jail. I love that. Love it when angels come and help commit crimes. Isn't that great? The angels show up. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. Think about this. Angels show up and break them out of prison. Most Christians today would say, no, shut the door, Mr. Angel. I'm supposed to be here. I've got another couple weeks. I'm supposed to be here. You can't break the rules. Anyways, that's for free. Angels show up, break them out of prison, and says, go, keep preaching, keep telling people about Jesus. Acts 5:33 says that the religious leaders were so mad, they now wanted to kill the disciples. So, let's read Acts 5:34. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in high honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. He said to them, "Men of Israel, take care for what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was killed. And all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away some of the people after him, but he too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, and you might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. When's the last time you rejoiced after being beaten? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. I believe this Pharisee, Gamaliel, held in high honor by the people, I believe he has a word of wisdom to speak into our culture today. He essentially grabs all the leaders and he says, listen. Remember all these other leaders who raised people up and distracted people and brought them into all kinds of false teachings and false ways? You know what eventually happened to all their lies? They died with them. Here's what you need to know about people who are today spreading lies and causing trouble and leading people astray. Their lies will die with them. See, the truth always, always stands the test of time. The truth will always stand the test of time. Lies will eventually be exposed, and you'll understand that's not true. If someone's voicing lies and speaking perverse things, we don't need to jump all over them and beat the lies out of them. Here's what we need to do. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Yeah, but Pastor Tim, there's so much misinformation, and there's so much lies, and there's so much false news and fake news and bad news. You know what we do in the midst of all the bad news as the church? We preach the good news. We don't focus our attention on beating people up over the bad or focusing on what's wrong. We celebrate the truth. So when societies and institutions try to ban certain things, books, films, etc., do you know what that always does? Creates popular excitement. We got to get rid of this book. You can't read this book. Everybody's going, why? What's in the book? You can't watch this movie. It portrays negative things about our leaders. You can't watch this movie. We're going to ban it in our country. Everybody's going, what's on the movie? As soon as you tell people they can't have something, now I kind of want it. It's like telling someone, don't look over here. What does everybody do? Don't look. What? You immediately look. Why? Because your curiosity to find out what is there is stronger than your belief that you shouldn't see it. The more that we talk about censorship and misinformation and don't listen to this and don't listen to that, you know what also it does? It makes people think that there's some truth that you're wanting to hide. We're starting this Wednesday night. I'm really excited for these three Wednesdays on talking about cults. You know one of the things that cults do? They ban certain material. You can't read that. You can't read that. They block it. You can't have this. Whenever there is an organization or people who are determining what you can or cannot read or be exposed to, can I tell you something? They're not looking to help you. They're looking to control you. Well, you can't say that. You can't say that, Pastor Tim. That's not politically correct. That's hate speech. This is why freedom of speech is so important. You can't outlaw speech. You can't outlaw words, because words are how we think. We think by speaking, by having dialogue, by having conversations. And if we can't ever say certain things, then we're not ever going to be able to grow and explore and develop as a people. Now, our government is trying to, and to a certain degree already has in Canada, banned certain kinds of speech. And can I stand here today and say it's nonsense? You can't outlaw words. If you want a surefire way of stopping growth and advancement and maturity as a people and a culture, then censor all thoughts and statements and political views that are different than what you currently believe. You know what happens if we censor countering ideas? We stop growing. We stop growing. And if we went back in time and if we started censorship and blocking misinformation several decades or centuries ago, then what would happen today? Today, women still wouldn't be able to vote, own property, work a job, and we would still have slavery in North America. How would that be? Well, because in that time, that would have been considered dangerous information. We cannot live in a society where we try to censor every falsehood. Instead, here's what we must do, and the church should be so good at this. We relentlessly pursue the truth, and the truth will always win over the lies. Colossians 2:8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition." Here's human tradition right now. Censor people, block people, cancel culture. Label those who disagree with you as spreading misinformation and disinformation. Listen to Romans 8:1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Church, our concern should not be with people who are spreading lies. It should be with those who are suppressing truth. Don't be concerned about the people who are shouting out loud lies. Be concerned about those who are suppressing the truth. Here's what Jesus has called us to. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I'll read a few verses from here. Verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." For what? For freedom, Christ has set us free. He says, so stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the law. This is what Paul's talking about. Don't go back to a life filled with, I have to follow these rules and I have to follow circumcision is what he's talking about as a specific example. Don't go back and think, well, I have to do all of these things. No, Christ came and he fulfilled the law to show you that you couldn't fulfill the law because you are a sinner in need of a savior. So don't go back to thinking, man, if we just had more rules. You ever think to yourself that life would just be better if you had more rules? Nobody. But this is exactly what our present culture is doing. Well, you can't say that word. Well, you can't hold that opinion. Well, you can't express that view. You might hurt somebody's feelings. If I hurt your feelings this morning, send me an email. We'll have a coffee. I'll buy you a coffee. A latte. If you need a caution against what's happening in regards to Canada, look at China. China's internet censorship is the most comprehensive and sophisticated censorship online than any other country in the world. They censor anything that incites hatred or discrimination, makes falsehoods or distorts the truth, or injures the reputation of the state. In other words, whatever they don't like, they just change it. If you say something that is negative about the government or someone in authority, they just change it. I didn't tweet that. Yeah, you did. We changed it. Censorship and this whole idea of controlling or stopping misinformation and disinformation is proof of a Christless culture. Listen to me. If there's no Savior who can save you or change you morally, then we must need the government to save us and change us. That's where this goes. If there's no Spirit of truth who will lead us into all truth and help us to live moral, upright, godly lives where we lovingly respect one another and have conversations with one another, where we might disagree and our views might be polar opposites, but we can still love each other, man, the government better step in and help us out. We better lean on them. If we don't have God, we need the government. And here's what happens. They say, don't worry, we'll sift through all the misinformation for you. We'll do all of our thinking for you. Here's what we're experiencing right now from our culture. Earmuffs, children. Earmuffs. Earmuffs. You ever do that to your kids? Fingers in your ears. We're having a mommy-daddy conversation right now. Earmuffs. This is what's happening right now. And I just believe that we should strive to live in a world where we treat each other like grown human beings who have the maturity to process information for themselves. Somebody give a shout. Let's have enough respect for one another that I don't need a safe space. I don't need a bubble to preserve my innocence. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live in a culture where we believe that we can process critical thinking for ourselves. New York Post wrote an article 6 months ago based on an actual lawsuit in which Facebook was sued and admitted to censoring certain content based on their left-leaning political opinions. They got sued and they lost because it turns out that they censor things based on their opinion. Why does this matter, Pastor Tim? What's the spiritual significance in all of this? First of all, I hope for many that this is eye-opening. Remembering that you cannot trust what you read on the internet. Our Canadian government has just made arrangements with social media platforms to limit the reach of certain news organizations so that if you own a news organization and your values don't align with the government, they will limit your spread online. You can't trust everything that you hear. You can't trust everything that you read. But at a deeper level, here's why this matters. Romans 9 says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear unless someone preaches? Unless we are able to speak and tell people about Jesus, if our culture continues to drift away from Christ-centered values, it's Jesus. That's going to be the name that we can't speak. The most important thing that we can do in this world is ensure that people give an opportunity or receive an opportunity to hear the words of Christ and the message of the cross. And if we live in a culture that is censoring and silencing those who have values and beliefs that don't align with popular opinion, church, this matters for the church. We are in an unprecedented moment in human history in our world. And I believe, as I said last week, that we need to honor our government and pray for our government. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to respect them. And we need to look to what the Lord would do through them. But I want to say this today. The wrath of God is coming for those who suppress the truth. The wrath of God. That's what we read. And the blessings of God are coming for those who speak the truth. Jesus reassures us, Matthew 10:26. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. You cannot trust everything that you read on the internet, but you can trust every word in this book. Every word. Every word. Every word. Every word. Every word. This book is uncensored. I almost said unscented. It's unscented too. I don't know if you have a scented Bible. I don't. It's uncensored. It's unfiltered. It is filled with complex, mysterious, and often offensive content. And anyone ever been offended by this book before? The truth will offend you. But then once you lovingly submit yourself to the truth, you know what happens? The truth will set you free. I need to be exposed to information that ruffles my feathers. I need to be exposed to information that unsettles me and makes me think differently. This is what the Word of God does. It unsettles me. If this book doesn't unsettle you, you're not reading it. We need to be confronted, and the truth will make a change. Church, God will not be censored. And let me say this, this church will not be censored either. Censorship is not about preserving the truth, it's about control. And the best way to stop the spread of lies is to shout the truth. Shout the truth. Make it your mission to love the truth. Make it your mission to honor the truth and to speak the truth and to share the truth with others. And when you don't know, can I encourage you in your conversations with one another? Admit that you don't know. Let's have humble conversations with one another. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving us, healing us, setting us free, setting our feet upon a rock with your word as our firm foundation. God, I pray for every person in this room today. Fill them with the Spirit of truth, that they may walk in the truth and stay out of the darkness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.